This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where I'm really hoping Corey does not restate that opinion and get people off on a tangent, because it's time for Puck Around and Find Out, Mike's in-person breakdown of Stars Golden Knights Game 1 and why the crowd wasn't that great, and maybe your predictions for the rest of the series. But in the meantime, let's go to cut number one, because, well, this was a theme for the night. It didn't take too long.
Long wrist shot.
Score! Deflected in front! Guess who? It's the captain, it looks like, Mark Stone! Welcome back, Mark Stone, and welcome to Game 1 of Vegas and Dallas.
Yay, the guy they used to help circumvent the salary cap scored a goal. The Stars lose Game 1. Mike, I don't know how much you want to dive into this one. We could talk about the game and the physicality battle that you were losing most of the night. But you said maybe you did not notice a big difference from regular season to playoff hockey.
I went to an Avalanche Stars game earlier in the year. I believe the final was 6-5 in overtime. It was a great game. I saw no difference in the atmosphere between that game and last night's game. Now, I do think this, the Stars giving up a goal less than 2 minutes into the game didn't help. The Stars getting down 2-0 didn't help. The Stars giving up a goal a minute and 5 seconds into the second period didn't help.
The goal disallowed.
Yeah. But I guess it was built up so much for a decade plus to me that playoff hockey. I'm telling you, there's nothing better than playoff hockey. And I was like, this seems like a regular season game. I mean, yes, the Stars put on different functions where they had like Dr. Doom or whatever doing things, and they tried to get the crowd fired up.
Right.
Did you sing Friends in Low Places with everybody?
I think that's kind of stupid during the playoffs.
Oh,
wow.
How come?
There's like 1 minute to go and there's a face-off on Vegas's side and they're playing like, hey, let's do a sing-along.
So this sounds like you're fundamentally, like, you might not agree with.
Let's do a sing-along with less than a minute to go, down by one. What is this, Sesame Street?
It's what they always do that.
But I don't. Does that seem like a good, like, let's just put ourselves on. Let's just put ourselves on the ice. Are you like, boy, I feel the energy in the building that we got Friends in Low Places with under a minute to go.
If you'd have scored a goal right then, that place would have lost its mind. But they got another, you know, here we go, just icing.
After Thompson missed the puck to give us a 4-3 situation.
Is that Marchment?
Yes. The last 5-plus minutes.
Yeah.
High energy, people were standing up. I met a Tolo Colby, who was in our section, our area, came by and said hello. I looked over to the right. He was having a blast, screaming, yelling, waving the Bill Winnington towel. But it was built up. And you know, when a movie's built up, this is going to be the best movie you've ever seen. And then you're like, well, it was good. It was good. And then the other thing too is, I'll just say this. I don't think Dallas will ever be a good environment.
And you don't think that's just for hockey either, do you?
I just think that we don't know any better. This is how if you grew up here and you've never been to a game in Philadelphia or Boston or New York or Kansas City for the Chiefs, or, you know, you've never been to any of these environments. To me, I thought the Braves' Saturday night game against the Rangers had more electricity in it than the Dallas Stars game one. Now, I'm not saying the Braves are the best fans in the world, but that was standing room only. And you could, the whole time, there was just this energy. And I'm way up top, but you're just like, dude, these people are into this game. This is just, I guess I shouldn't use Darnold coming up because he's going to hit a home run. But like, they're at the bottom of their lineup and they're like excited about this inning that they're coming up to hit. And for Rangers, I'm not trying to trash Stars fans or Ranger fans or anything, but we just don't really know. We don't know to stand up with two strikes and two outs in the second inning for a strikeout. We just don't know, because you grew up watching the game sitting down, and so we sit down. And Stars fans, no different. They're probably Dallas Maverick fans somewhat. They're probably Texas Ranger fans. See that. And so we've been brought up in our, and maybe in a good way, be very cordial fans. Golf clap when a couple things go right. Cheer when the person on the mic tells you to cheer. And then sit down and watch the game the rest of the time.
Is it, because this always comes up. And I don't think this is a unique problem to the Metroplex, but to be fair, I haven't not tried to attend a whole bunch of playoff games in other places. Is people always say the prices price out the hardcore fans. But I feel like, isn't that probably an issue for all teams or most other teams?
Maybe
as well?
Not. I was looking at this. My boys want to go to a Dallas Mavericks playoff game.
Okay.
I can't go. I'm working Rangers every game three, four, and six. I have a job. But they're old enough that I want to let them go. They can go by themselves. The tickets for game three and four here are upper deck, worst seats.
Yeah.
About $200 after fees per ticket.
Right.
Tonight, if you would like to see the Dallas Mavericks play the LA Clippers, I have here on ESPN, this is through Ticketmaster, tickets as low as $45 a seat. And Milwaukee tonight, Milwaukee's hosting the Pacers, tickets as low as $37 a seat. Ooh. So our tickets are about four to five times more a lot of other venues. Even the Timberwolves, right? How great are they doing? $70 tonight to go to the Timberwolves Suns game two. So
fascinating.
Our tickets are more expensive in Dallas. There's more people, more money in certain situations. Obviously, the Clippers aren't the Lakers, but I'm not saying it was bad. I don't want to come off as it was bad, but it was built up and it didn't live up to the expectation.
Yeah.
I mean, my first Stars playoff game, I think it was my first one, was last year against the Knights, the Jamie Benn game. And within 2 minutes, all the energy got sucked out of the place because Jamie Benn puts a hit on somebody and now he's gone. And you're like, hold on, we just lost the dude for the whole game because of that? And so I wanted to say, Mike, last night was a very unique situation and it doesn't happen that way. But it absolutely happened to us before. Maybe Vegas just knows how to come in and take the crowd completely out of a game because they were hitting you better than you could hit last night. You didn't even hit. You didn't even try.
No chippiness.
You just kind of were like, oh, you know what? I'm focusing on puck. And you know what? Maybe that's the proper thing to do. Focus on puck and move on about your business.
Because you're going to lose a physical battle.
Every once in a while, you got to pop back at somebody. Yeah. And they didn't. They weren't doing any of that. Nothing. And those are the things that liven up a crowd. Those are the things that get everybody going, okay, we're in this. We're actually fighting back here. And that wasn't happening last night.
I'll tell you what we did well, though. Boy, could we skate across the blue line faster than the puck. That was great. I mean, I was like, man, we are great at this offsides things. And I'll tell you what, can we ice a puck? I was calling it frosting at the end. I was like, I like frosting better than icing.
So, agreed. So, offsides was a problem. Icing or frosting was a problem. I want to say goaltending was a problem, but I also want to say don't box out or screen your own goalie, Miro. I'm not saying that Ottinger had a great game, but at least one of those goals, I was like, come on, dude. What are we doing here, Haskinen?
Yeah, and I mean, I give Vegas that credit, too, of they did a good job.
Ooh.
They beat your ass last night.
That's true.
Like, they beat your ass fairly last night. So
it's one game. Are they better than us?
They are better.
Wait. Hold on.
They're the champs.
This looks similar.
Hold on.
It looks almost exactly the same.
This is what I want to throw out to potentially counteract that. If it weren't for Vegas is always going to be the more physical team than you. In this series. I'm not disputing that at all. If it weren't for the poor play by Ottinger, the box outs by their own defensemen that led to some of these goals, would you not have looked at this game from puck control, from aggression on net, from shots on net, and say, this was the Stars' game?
I guess they did have more shots on goal.
Twice as much. Like, literally
twice. Does it count when the puck's
much?
Going 14 miles an hour and the goalie then just gets it and scoops it to his guy?
Because I don't have a breakdown of what I would call quality chances. Yeah. I'll see if I can look into that. But I do think in terms of puck possession, in terms of aggression towards the net, in terms of shot on goal, I did think the Stars look like the better team. Okay. I know that's hard to argue.
I'm not
when you
argue.
Lose 4-2.
I guess being there, maybe it just didn't feel like there were a lot of. I guess I didn't feel like there was a lot more opportunities. The other thing too is I felt like
way.
At 4-2, after two, Vegas was doing a great job of like, we're not going to allow them to get a lot of runs. We're dumping. We're substituting. We're going to stay fresh. We're going to. You know, like they weren't really trying to score, I would say, in the third period, but they did a great job of milking the clock.
Yeah, and Vegas's defensive setup is kind of unique and different. More teams are trying to do it. They're trying to accomplish it right now, but Vegas is really good at it, and they protect the front part of their net very well. And it gives the Stars fits. It did last year,
yes.
And it's given them fits right now, and they're having to figure out ways to find the right angles, because when they try to center that puck, there's somebody there. It's kind of like a zone, the way that it's built, and they do a good job of protecting their net whenever it's time to protect it.
The thing that's got to change, and like if people want to give your predictions for the rest of the series, I definitely want to hear that. Thing that's got to change is special teams, and I would have thought for sure going into this series, one humongous advantage that the Stars would have had is on special teams. But look at what happens last night. Stars 0-2 on the power play. Not particularly captivating on the power play either. Vegas scores on both of their power plays. During the regular season, Vegas was 20th in power play conversions. 20th! The Stars, their penalty kill, 8th best. Mm. So you're taking a below average power play team versus a very much above average penalty kill. And then you watch the game and you're like, never mind.
Here's what's the other frustrating part, Kevin, because it compiles with what you just said. Very much like the Mavericks against the Clippers. The Clippers came out defensively. They were in your face immediately. Every time you turned around, there was somebody there. And Vegas had somebody. The Mavericks and Stars were both passive to start these series.
They were
very passive, and I don't know if it's to collect information to see how your defense is setting up against you, or if they just didn't expect their opponent to come out the same way. But Vegas was on the puck. Every time you got the puck, they were there. And if they weren't right there, they were going to hit you whenever you release the puck. So that's the other part. Aggressive nature, being prepared for that moment, that's something that's got to change. That starts, for me, that's coaching. That's getting your guys' mindsets the right way.
When you guys were talking about the defensive setup for the Golden Knights, let me ask you a question. I wouldn't have thought this going into the playoffs, and it's just one game. Could one of the strengths of the Stars in the regular season actually be problematic here? The Stars had 26 come-from-behind wins, most in franchise history. That was half of their wins in the regular season, and that's great, but I wonder if you see a defensive shift altogether, or if this is just not the team to do that against, because as you pointed out, it's like 90 seconds into the game, you're already losing. And that feels like that will be harder to overcome, not just against this series, but if you move on. And this is something the Stars were great at in the regular season.
I don't have strong opinions. Obviously, I've gotten into hockey, but I don't understand it nearly as well as I'd like to understand it. All I can say is watching the playoffs last year and trying to remember what I saw from this series, it looked the same. It looked like they just played games, whatever. We lost in 5 or 6 last
six.
Year. 6. That looked like game 7 of the playoff series, and you're just like, yeah, they're just better.
Yeah.
They're just better. I hope I'm wrong. Because
last year I definitely thought
because
that
the Stars
too.
Are better this year, at least record-wise they're better. A lot of stats say they're better, but you know, I didn't know until before the show started how Vegas was able to cheat. But I guess it's not cheating. I don't know why the Stars don't do it, but
it's a great question. By the way, and because, Corey, I know you'd brought this up in the past, I'll just argue circumventing the salary cap is they will. Mark Stone has come up on this twice, the guy who scored the first goal, and their captain on the long-term injury list. And when you put somebody on the long-term injury list, that gives you salary cap relief. And so what Vegas did, what I think this year they ended up picking up 3 players in the meantime to kind of fill that salary cap void. And then there's no salary cap in the postseason. So what do you know, last year, just like this year, when it's time for the playoffs, hey,
They have extra guys.
Mark Stone is ready to play again.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what about all these guys that you got with his money? Doesn't matter. No salary cap in the playoffs anymore. I'm conflicted because if the Stars did it, I would be like, brilliant maneuvering. As a team who might have done that to beat the Stars, I'm like, son of a gun.
Yeah, and you're also conflicted because the rules are the rules.
Yes,
and
they are.
Like, you got to follow the rules, and these guys just have, they found the loophole, they obliterate it, and they use it to their advantage, and it's smart move, man. I wish other sports were like that. I wish the Cowboys could do that, because then you have all this cap space at the end of the year.
Corey, I don't know if you've heard this. You have a set cap space for 5 years.
No, at the end of the year, you have lots of cap space, and then you can just add on to it and then beat the Packers.
What about at the end of the day?
Well, I really want to know what happens at the beginning of the day, Kevin.
Hey, we're going to have Stephen Jones on later. I want you to ask a question like that.
Let's go.
Over under, number of questions Michael asked to Stephen Jones at 0.5.
I have questions, but I know they'll tick him off tremendously.
Well, who cares?
Oh, God.
As long as they're fair.